I'm continuing on in a series, and you know, last week after I preached, I was having a conversation with my wife, and you know, I was a little tongue-tied, and because you know, like I shared with last Saturday, you know, like when it comes to the topic of money, you know, it's something that can be very uncomfortable with people, but especially in the church because it's been abused for so long. You know, I shared last week, right? I mean, I've been in church services where they took, you know, four or five offerings, you know, during one service. You know, and I'm just sitting there thinking, man, this is just horrible. You know, I've been in places, you know, in services where, you know, guys, you know, preach 30 minutes in the message and then gave a 40, 50-minute message about the offering. You know, and there's this kind of, you know, we've seen like the Jim Bakers and, you know, we've seen, you know, the PTL scandal like we had in the United States. And we've seen how all these, you know, guys had like, you know, like was the big scandal with Jim Baker. He had like these dogs. And he actually would take money from the ministry, and he, because he loved his dog so much, believe it or not, he had like this air conditioned like doghouse, you know. But it was like state of the art, you know, kind of stuff for their dogs, you know. And so we read about these abuses in church and stuff, and it, like, yeah, no wonder we don't want to give to church, you know what I mean? You never know what's that pastor going to do with that money, or, you know, what's that elders, you know, they're going to go buy a Mercedes-Benz with this thing, or, you know what I mean? And you hear about these stories, and it just, trust me, it makes my stomach sick, you know? And, you know, and I can imagine what it does to a non-believer or someone that's kind of new in church. And so, you know, when I talk about money, and when I talk about this whole aspect of giving, you know, and I you have to make it very clear from the beginning, I don't do it because God needs your money, right? I make it very clear. If God needs your money, He is an impotent God. You know what I mean? I mean, if He needs, you know, your measly salary that you make, well, some of you guys make good salaries, but in any case, right? I mean, maybe He needs Bill Gates' money, but He doesn't need your money, right? Actually, that's not true. He doesn't need His money either, right? But if that's the case, right, then we are serving an impotent God. You know, I mean, if he needs out of my puny salary, right, that I get, then, man, how big is this God? You know, but He asks us to give, right, not for Him, but for us. You know, I mean, really, He asks us to give for us. And so, and we're going to talk about some of these things as we go through along this way. And I preach this series. It's going to be a series of messages. I told the worship team that I kind of prepared something. I actually stayed home this morning. I usually go to the Korean service, but I stayed home because I was working on this because I didn't like what I prepared beforehand. It wasn't that good, right? So I went this morning. I prepared something totally different and things. But you know, as I come back to this point, I do it because as a pastor, right? You know, I want you guys to be blessed. This is what I pray for you every day when I pray for you. I pray, Lord, would you bless this church? Would you bless this congregation members? You know, my goal is when we get to heaven, right? My goal is that when you get to heaven, you're going to be so blessed. I mean, you're going to have so many crowns on your head, your neck's going to be sore. You know what I mean? I mean, you're going to be so, you know, receive so much from God. You know what I mean? That when I get to heaven, when we see each other, that you're going to be so blessed. And then I'm going to say, Sam, you did a good job. You did a good job. I'm serious, right? It's not that I'm not here to tickle your ears, you know what I mean? Or I'm not here to make you laugh on Sunday or to make you feel good or make you feel happy. My job is for you to live a blessed life, right? That Father God could see the way that you live and see your life in such a way that He says, man, this son or this daughter of mine, I just want to bless this person. I just want to give him everything that I can give him. You know, and if I can do that, right, and obviously it's not me, but if I can, you know, be used by God to lead you in a way that is blessed, man, I've done my job. You guys should give me a raise if that happens. Amen? Right? Amen? Okay. Right? And so, because we're not talking about money here. But now, I talked last week about the significance of numbers. And I want to go back to that a little bit, okay? I'm not really into, like, the Bible code or you know, like, you know, what's that? That demonic book that came out, Da Vinci Code. I'm not into that kind of stuff, right? But I am into there's something about numbers in the Bible, not the book of numbers, but numbers, counting numbers, that are quite significant in the scriptures. And so I just, because I talked last week about the number 10. Remember, what was the number 10? Yeah, it was a number of redemption, right? 10 was a number of redemption. And so we had the 10 plagues, right, which were the redemption of Israel out of Egypt, right? We had the 10 commandments, you know, which are to redeem us into this life. We have, you know, 10 virgins, 10 lepers, 10 degrees of the sun, you know, all these things. 10 is the number that represents redemption, right? And so God asks us to tithe, which is 10%, right, of whatever comes in our lives, and because it's the number of redemption. And so I just did some other study, and I came up with this thing. Actually, this is was first shown to me by one of the, I guess, the foremost house church leaders in China, Pastor Samuel Lam. So you may have read his book, Bold as a Lamb. But when I went to visit him a few years ago, he kind of turned me on to this a little bit. But share, Israel was restored as a nation in May 14th, 1948. Do you think that was a coincidence? It wasn't, right? I'm leading you onto something. It really wasn't a coincidence, right? Okay, any case. So, turning that on, we're going to do a little math problem today, okay? So, I want you to turn to Ezekiel chapter 4, verse 3 to 6. We're just speaking here. This is kind of just a precursor to what I'm talking about, but this is just the significance of numbers. Ezekiel 4. I know a lot of us are not really good with numbers, so I had everything up here. You don't have to calculate anything in your head. Don't worry about it, okay? Now, Israel's entry into Egypt to their exodus was 430 years, okay? In other words, Egypt, when Israel went into Egypt, right, and they stayed there until they left Egypt, that's what the exodus means, right? It's the leaving, right? It was 430 years, okay? Just remember that later on. Also, if you look in this thing, the unified kingdom, right? So what happened is we had Saul, right? The King Saul, all the way to David, Solomon. After Solomon, what happened was the kingdom became divided, and it became the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, okay? And so the period of the unified kingdom, that's what we talked about, right? Split up into two different kingdoms. The southern kingdom was what was called Judah, right? The northern kingdom was what was called Israel. The northern kingdom had no good kings all throughout the years that were there, none at all. Okay, in 721 B.C., you don't have to remember these numbers, but I'm just giving you history. Right, in 721 B.C., they were captured by the Assyrians. The northern kingdom never left Assyria. Okay, they were in captivity. They would never been freed, never got rescued. Why? Because they had evil kings all throughout. The southern kingdom, right, is what we call Judah. And Judah, later on, every time after this exile, you hear the word Jews, it refers to Judah, right? It refers to this other kid, the southern kingdom, right? They had many kings, but they had only 8 kings that were good, right? And they were, so God gave them 100 more years, right, in existence. And also, but what happened is Babylonians came and took them captive in 606 B.C. They suffered in Babylon for 70 more years after that and returned to Judah in 536 B.C. Right, these are all documented dates, right? Now, let's turn to Ezekiel chapter 4. That's just a little background. So just remember, 430 days. That's what you have to remember, okay? Now, Ezekiel chapter 4, verse 3 to 6, and it says, then get yourself an iron plate, right? Iron plate, and set it up as an iron wall between you and the city, and set your face toward it so that it is under siege, and besiege it. This is a sign to the house of Israel. As for you, lie down on your left side and lay the iniquity of the house of Israel on it. You shall bear their iniquity for the number of days that you lie on it. For I have assigned you a number of days corresponding to the years of their iniquity, 390 days. Thus you shall bear the iniquity of the house of Israel. Now when you have completed these, you shall lie down a second time, but on your right side and bear the iniquity of the house of Judah. I have assigned it for you 40 days, a day for each year. Okay? And so you have 390 days and 40 days equals 430 days. Okay? Like I said, don't worry, you don't have to do any math, okay? And so this is the captivity. This is what happened in a time. Now, in the captivity to restoration, right, the northern kingdom, like I said, didn't return to Syria. The southern kingdom remained only partially destroyed. The Jews were captive in Babylon for 70 years, then later dispersed to other countries. Okay, in 536 B.C., the Jews returned from Babylon where they were to suffer another 360 years, okay? What he's telling the prophet Ezekiel, he's saying, look, right, Israel has sinned, right? Judah has sinned. So you're going to make basically it was kind of an act of repentance on behalf of the people. And so for the 430 years that Israel had sinned, you're going to lie down on one side of your body. I mean, can you imagine, right? You're God's star prophet, right? I mean, this is, you know, like God really likes you, but you're going to be the scapegoat in essence for the sins. And so for every year that they had sinned, right, in captivity, then you're going to play that out every day and lie down. So he lied down 430 days on his side, right, in the front gate. I mean, can you imagine what that looked like? And then when he was done with that, he had him lay down on the other side of his body, right, another 40 years for the sins of Judah. And so we calculate this through, right? So you got 430, right, minus 70, that's where they were completed, is 360. You got that? Okay. Now, they continued in sin, unfortunately, they continued in sin, and so God multiplied by seven, right? This is, if you look at Leviticus, you can turn other passages, right? They continued in sin, so God punished them seven times over. So once you put that up there, right? 360 times seven is 2,520 Israel calendar years. Now, the Israelite calendar is 360 days, okay? The solar calendar is what? 365.25, right? Remember leap year, okay? And so, we will calculate this through, right? So, 360 days times 7 is, we got 2520, okay? That this is Israel calendar years. Now, we take 2520, we multiply by 360, which is 907,200 days. Now, we convert the days here. I'm losing everybody, I could tell. It's okay. We convert the days here now, right? Back to the solar calendar. And so what is that? We have 972 divided by 365.25. That's 2,484 solar years. Okay, now we've made a conversion. Are you guys with me? Amen. Right? If you're not, you're not going to say it anyway, right? Because yeah, you got to be smart, okay? And so we see that they suffered in Babylon, right, for 70 years. In 536 BC, they returned to Israel. How many years would they continue to wander? 2,484 years minus the day they returned, 536, equals what? 1948. This is like, this is a time where we go, ooh, okay, right? 1948, I mean to the exact year. In fact, Josephus, who is a Jewish historian, the season when they came back out of captivity was what they call the season, the month of Nisan, or another word is Abib, right? And in that month, which is the springtime. And so, you know, historians have calculated these dates, right? Calculated the months of the seasons and whatnot. And it brings to, in 1948, you know what the month of Nisan was? It was May, right? Generally, the middle of the month, right? When does Israel, right, become a nation again? May 14th, 1948. Ooh. Right? Some of you guys that are doing job interviews, you can use this. I don't know how, but you can use it in some way, right? So, all to say, right, get back to this. I know I confused probably 80% of you here. It's okay, right? Just listen to the tape, you figure it out, get your notebook out and, you know, do your thing. And so, all to say that numbers are significant in the scriptures, right? There's something about numbers, right? Number seven, right, is the number of God, right? It's also the number of completion. You know, six, remember, is the, in Revelation, we see it's the mark of the beast, 666, right? Which is, you know, always one less than perfection. And that's always what the enemy will do, right? He'll always not quite get there, right? He'll always fall shy of perfection or shy of God. That's why his number is 666. You know, we see the number 3 is significant. The number 40 is the number of breakthrough, right? And so we have a 40-day fast, right? We have 40 days in the wilderness, you know, or 40 years in the wilderness. You know, when we see all these things, and 40 seems to be the number of breakthrough. And so when we see numbers, you know, that are consistently drawn out to us, we can come back to this place and say, wow, there must be something significant in there. You know, and so we'll get to, we talked about tithing last week. We'll get into that a little bit later on, this idea of tithing. What I want to concentrate on today, and there's tons of scriptures here, because I want it to come strictly from the Word of God, not from my opinion or not from my thoughts or anything. I want you to see very clearly what the Scripture tells us about this aspect of giving. And I want to entitle it, I know your bulletin says giving, but a better title of this is actually Poverty or Prosperity. Right? Like I told you, but I had to change the message, right? It's Poverty or Prosperity. You know, and there's really, God brings to us two different choices that we can make. I want to tell you right off the bat, we've said so many times, God's will for your life is for prosperity, right? Say that. Say it to yourself. Says whatever your name is, say, if you're head on, God's will for me is prosperity. Say that to yourself. Go ahead. 3 John chapter 2, or verse 2. There is only one chapter in third book of John. This is what he says. It's come up. Now, incidentally, I know I had this conversation with Kenny before. Kenny doesn't want to put these verses up on the board because he doesn't want you guys to get lazy. You know what I mean? So I said, Kenny, our church, come on. Right? This is not a lazy group, and I think they can do this thing, right? So now I'm having faith in you, okay? So if you have a Bible, please turn to them and don't be lazy, right? Or else you're going to make me look bad in front of Kenny, right? And so it says in 3 John 2, Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health just as your soul prospers, right? And so this is God's will for our lives. He desires that we would prosper, right? He desires that we would be in good health. You know, I mean, he doesn't want us to be sick. I know sickness happens in our life, in our times, but that's not God's will for us. You know, and you got to understand this. You know, John tells him, right, and he says, listen, beloved. In other words, loved ones, I'm telling you, I pray that in all respects you may prosper, right? In your job, is your job included in all? Yeah, right? Is your bank account included in all? Yeah. You know, I mean, all means all, right? I looked it up in the Greek. It means all, right? There's no changing in that whatsoever. All is all. You know, he says there, right? I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health just as your soul prospers, right? The soul prosper is regarding towards spiritual things, right? And so he's talking about the soul, but he's saying that on these other matters, he wants you to prosper. I mean, isn't that good news for us that Father God wants each of us to prosper? And he wants us to be in good health. You know, and so when I get sick, or my wife gets sick, or someone I know gets sick, I pray to God and say, Lord, heal us, please. You know, and either heal through the medicine, or heal us supernaturally, or heal through a doctor. I mean, I don't care which way it happens. God, I just want you to heal us. Because I recognize that your will for my life is that I would be in good health, that I would prosper. Right? And not just in spiritual things. You know, and we have this kind of idea that, especially us that we've grown up in church, we have this idea that when it comes with God, that He'll bless us in spiritual things. Yeah, He'll like allow us to pray more, you know, and He'll allow us to come to church, you know, and do those things. But when it comes to the other stuff, I just got to do it on my own. Does it sound like anybody? You know what I mean? You know, that we have like this, that we dichotomize this aspect of God. God will bless me in spiritual stuff, right? In church stuff and, you know, in stuff relating to God and my spirituality and the Bible. But not necessarily in the stuff that's in the world. Now, I'm telling you, that's not true. He says, I desire that you would prosper in all respects. You may prosper being good health as your soul prospers, right? Prosperity, not poverty, is God's intention for our lives. Amen? Right? I mean, that's something, you know, I mean, when a preacher says something like that, you just got to just grab that and say, amen. You know, I mean, that's my word, right? We'll move on, okay? Right? Now, also, right, it is He that gives us the power to get wealth. Isn't that amazing? Deuteronomy 8:18. What does it say? But you shall remember. I'm sorry, I'll wait till you get there. I know Deuteronomy is hard to find. It's the fifth book in the Old Testament. Okay. Deuteronomy 8:18 says, But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who is giving you power to make wealth, that He may confirm His covenant which He swore to your fathers as it is in this day. Right? Who brings the power to make wealth? God does. You know, and he writes here in Deuteronomy because he's writing to people, right, and they're kind of forgetting about God. They're kind of forgetting that God had done these things to them. And so they're at that place choosing, well, should I give or should I not give? And he says, listen, it is God that gives you the power to make wealth. Right? It's God that is providing the seed. It's God that's providing the labor. It's God that's doing these things so that you can be prosperous. Right, and so you know, the writer here in Deuteronomy is speaking to that way. Here's another great verse, Proverbs 10:22. How many guys know that just because you got money doesn't mean you're happy? Right? I mean, just turn to E! Television and watch, you know, what is that show? Hollywood, what is that? Not Access Hollywood, True Hollywood Stories, man, right? And you see these guys that have buco bucks. But these guys are stinking miserable. You know what I mean? But look what God does. He not only gives you the power to make wealth, right? Look what he says here. Proverbs 10:22. It is the blessing of the Lord that makes rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. Hallelujah. You know what I mean? I mean, he gives you the power to make wealth, right? He says this is a blessing from God, right? That not only does he give you the power to make wealth, right? But what does he do on top of that? He adds no sorrow to it, right? I mean, you know, I'm being really honest, right? My wife and I, we sold our house beginning of this year, right? And so, you know, we did pretty good, you know, selling our house. I bought it years ago when the market in California was really low, and now it's really high. And stuff. And so now we have, and you think, wow, you know, God gave this poor preacher some money. You think I'd be one happy camper. Guess what? Jungmin can tell you, because we talk a lot about this. We're both stinking miserable. You know what I mean? Because now, right, there's the funds and stuff. Now it's like, God, I think, well, how am I going to use this? How can I save this for my child? You know, it just goes on and on and on. Because, I mean, in that case, because it was about me, right, about what I can do. And I had to go back and go back to the Lord and say, God, thank you for this blessing. Because in some ways, it kind of became a curse. You know, I mean, some of you guys are making a decent salary. You know what I mean? And some of you guys are not too happy about it. You know, in terms of now you got to worry about how do I invest this thing? You know, how do I make this thing grow? You know, how can I do this? And should I turn into this currency? Or should I do this? Or should I buy this property? Or no, no, no. And just on and on. And there's no joy in the blessing that God has given you. But God says he gives the ability to make wealth and he adds no sorrow to it. Right? When we're following God's line, or when walking God's way, when we're choosing prosperity instead of poverty, and the spirit of poverty works in our lives in such a way that there are so many sorrows added to it. You know, there's so many things because we're trying to do it on our own strength, we're trying to do it our own way, but it's God's blessing in our life that brings this about. Amen? See, there are laws of poverty and there are laws of prosperity. There really are. You know, just as the God of the universe, right, he came and he created this universe and he set aside the law of gravity. You know, and some of us, you know, especially when we're young, yeah, we really learn this really quick, right? You throw something up, it comes straight down, right? We all took physics, right? You know, and, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, what the weight of the object is, it comes down at the same rate. And, you know, and maybe some of us have tried to jump off places, you know. I was one of those stupid kids that tried to do that, and I learned the theory of gravity, you know, very harshly, right, in my time. And so, but we understand this, and just as there is in the natural universe, right, these laws that God had set up in the spiritual universe, and especially in the area of finances and these things, there's a law of poverty, there's a law of prosperity. You know, there's things that we can do, that we can align ourselves in such a way that we can walk prosperously before the Lord. There's things that we can do in our lives, you know, and we align ourselves in such a way, not with God's ways, and it could lead us into a spirit of poverty. And I tell you what, one of the worst things you can have is a spirit of poverty. Because the spirit of poverty says that no matter how much I have, I still need more. I need more. I need more. You can have $1 billion in your bank account, right? And you still need more. And you're living poor. You're living under a spirit of poverty. You know, I mean, it's sad when you see people in this line. They're so concerned. They worry so much. There's so many things going on in their life. You know, and I mean, and God just totally just wants to set people free. And so we're going to talk about certain things. Turn to Proverbs chapter 24. I'm going to be using the book of Proverbs because it gives us wisdom, incredible wisdom in dealing with these things. This is the law of poverty. Proverbs 24, verse 30. Proverbs 24, verse 30. I passed by the field of the sluggard, and by the vineyard of the man lacking sense. And behold, it was completely overgrown with thistles. Its surface was covered with nettles, and its stone wall was broken down. Right? The law of poverty says that you don't work hard. Right? It's talking here about the sluggard, right? The field, a sluggard meaning a very lazy person. The law of poverty is, if you're lazy, there will not be any prosperity coming your way, right? And so God tells us to work hard, right? Have you ever heard of the Protestant work ethic, right? I mean, this really is what built the United States of America in many ways, you know? And it's because these Bible-believing people believe that if they worked hard, that God would bless them. They knew that if they were lazy, that God would not bless them, right? And so it came up this Protestant work ethic, you know, and I mean, it did wonders, you know, for the United States of America, you know, especially in the earlier years, you know. And we have to understand that laziness, right? If you're lazy in your occupation, if you're lazy in your job, if you're lazy, guess what? You're going to lead into the law of poverty, and you will not reap. Amen. Do you guys understand that? Now, there's another, the law of prosperity. Turn to Proverbs 6:6-8. By the way, these are just some really simple principles. We'll get into deeper things as we go along. The law of prosperity, Proverbs 6:6-8, says, "Go to the ant, O sluggard, observe her ways and be wise, which having no chief officer or ruler, prepares her food in the summer and gathers her provision in the harvest." Right? He's saying, look at the ants. Right? Look at what they do. Right? Notice the very clear word here. They have no chief, no officer, or ruler. In other words, they don't need to be told what to do. They do it. In other words, these people are kind of self-initiating people. Right? It's under the law of prosperity. Right? They're going to be growing and they're going to be blessed in that way. Right? And so a lot of this deals in just simple labor. Right? Of being lazy, right? Of being diligent, you know? And if you're diligent, right? And even in such a way that you can manage yourself, you know? I mean, there's some people, I know some of you guys are in more of a supervisory role, but there are some people you have to tell them what to do every step of the way, right? Those kind of guys that get fired, right? You know, or the ones that never get promotions and whatnot, right? The same element, right, happens, right, in the kingdom of God, right? That we need to be diligent in the task that God has given to each one of us. Now, there's four R's that I'm going to relate to here. These will relate to the laws of poverty and the laws of prosperity. Four simple R's. Number one, reward. Reward. Right? Luke 10:7. The laborer is worthy of his wages. Right? Other translations could be worthy of their reward. Now, you guys are working, right? You guys got a job. Your employer is not doing any special favor from you by giving you a paycheck. You know what I mean? It's not some special incentive that you get. You are worthy, right? In other words, you get a reward for your work. All right? This is something that we should always understand, right? Whatever your vocation, your wages are yours. Right? This is your reward. Right? You earn them, right? These things are not a gift. When you work hard, God's law demands that you receive your reward. Okay? Turn to Proverbs 28:19. Proverbs 28:19, right? It says, "He who tills meaning works very diligently the ground, right? That's what a tiller is, another word for a farmer, okay? It's an old word. He who tills or works hard the land will have plenty of food, but he who follows empty pursuits will have poverty in plenty." Right? This is really important for us. Many of us that have jobs that, you know, especially if you don't work for yourself, you work for someone else, you know, be it a company or a bank or a law firm, please work hard. I mean, really, please work hard. Please work in such a way, especially as a Christian, right, that you don't need to be told what to do every step of the way. That you take some kind of initiative in your life, right, to be that kind of employee, right, that if you were a boss, that you would want. Right? This is being a Christian. You know what I mean? This is just really simple, you know, being a believer of the Lord Jesus Christ kind of stuff. Right? That when we do something, we work hard. And that means if you're on the job, right, and if, you know, stay off the internet. You know what I mean? You know, you don't have to be, you know, IQing or, is that IQing or? Yeah, ICQ, right? ICQing your girlfriend or your boy. You know what I mean? Work hard. You know, you don't have to be told what to do. Because it says that those that work hard, your reward, right? Not only the paycheck things you get, but God will continue to bless your life. Right? This is the law of prosperity. You know, when you work hard, God's law demands that you will receive your reward. Right? If you're currently working hard, expect to receive your just reward. Now, there's the other side of this thing, right? That if you don't work, right? If you're not working hard, there's no reward, right? If you're not working hard, there's no reward. You know, 1 Timothy 5:8, I'll just read it to you. You can look later. It says, "But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." Right? And so we're commanded, especially as Christians, to work hard. Right? And when we get the reward, that we make a provisions in our family. Turn to 2 Thessalonians 3:10. Right? Remember the flip side there. says, if anyone will not work, neither let him eat. Right? It's really simple stuff, right? No work, no food. Right? In other words, no reward. Right? And so in our life, right, the law of prosperity says that, man, if you work, right, there should be a reward. Right? And so expect to get some kind of reward. You know, maybe the word reward is kind of, you know, foreign to us because we think that, you know, we do something special and we get a reward. That's not really the case. You know, like you find a lost dog or something, there's a reward. You know, or if you're really lucky, maybe you find Bin Laden, right? You get a really big reward, right, from the CIA and things. But, you know, we need to understand this, right? There's a law of reward in our lives, right? If you work hard, right, if you work hard, expect a reward. Amen? Right? This is God's law, right? I'm telling you, a lot of this understanding about finances and money, especially if you've been going to church a while, it's been so twisted in our life, unfortunately. Right? But I'm telling you, there's rewards that you have, right? So if you work hard, there's a reward. Number two, expect release. Right? She said, not expect, be willing to release. Right? Be willing to release for the increase. Okay? It kind of rhymed, huh? Be willing to release for the increase. I've been rhyming a lot these days. Have you guys noticed? Man, it's been incredible. Right? Proverbs chapter 11. Verse 24. Proverbs 11, 24, 25. There is one who scatters, yet increases all the more. And there is one who withholds what is justly due, but it results only in want. The generous man will be prosperous, and he who waters will himself be watered. This is a great verse. Right? The word water there also is translated fat. You know, not like you got a lot of fat, right? But you're prosperous, you're fat, you know, in this way. You know, one who scatters, yet there's one who scatters, yet increases all the more. Scattering here means releasing, right? God makes it very clear. You scatter your money, you release your money, it will increase. Right? This is so countercultural to what the world tells us to do, right? It is so countercultural. You hoard too much, right? And guess what? You're going to be poor, right? This is the law of prosperity and poverty, right? You release, right? The law of release, right? It just doesn't make sense in the world. The world says, get all you can now, right? And when you get it, put a lid on that sucker, man, and don't let anyone touch it. You know what I mean? We hoard and we save and this is what the world tells us to do. And God's principle says, no, listen, right? Learn to release, scatter, and you'll see increase happen in your life. You hoard onto these things, and you're going to see a decrease in your life. I mean, this happens all the time. You know, I tell people, I've been telling people the last few years at church, I hope, this is my prayer. You're going to hate me probably after I pray this for you, right? But my prayer is that you give until it hurts. I hear amen? Right? No amen in the group, right? I mean, really, I hope that you come to a point where it absolutely hurts to give. Because that's when you know that you're going to get set up for an incredible blessing. Right? I share this before many times, right? It's just my one favorite story about this idea of giving. You know, years ago, I was a campus pastor at a Christian university, and when I was there, we used to hold these Wednesday night prayer meetings, right? Worship prayer. It was just really wonderful times, and I had one of my good friends come, and he started preaching on the spirit of generosity, right? And he was speaking on it, and I was like, wow, this is great. He set us all up, man. After he finished speaking, about 20 minutes or so, he asked everyone in the audience. He says, "How many of you guys here, you know, that you are just being blessed by God? I want you to stand up." Right? You know, I just got a job, new job, I'm in a new position. I'm really blessed by God. You know, I'm financially blessed and all these things. So I stood up, you know, and I was in there. And then all of a sudden, he turned the corner. He says, "Now, there's some of you here, you're not really so blessed these days, right? And you're in some need. I want you to stand up as well." And of course, the needs, right? I mean, this is a Christian college campus, right? Private school, right? The needs a lot more than people that had, you know, that were being blessed. And so then my friend Rich turned and did a number on us, and he said, "Why don't you guys that are being blessed by God, why don't you go to someone that's in need, and why don't you, you know, not just give them 20 bucks out of your pocket, right, but why don't you pray to God and ask him how much you should give that person?" right? And I was like, oh, ooh, Rich, you did a fast one on us, man. Right? And so I walk up to this girl, and I had known this girl, you know, and I just said, hey, you know, how you doing? You know, everything's going well. I said, well, let me pray for you. And so Rich told everyone to just lay your hand, right, just on the shoulder or something, and just close your eyes and pray. And he said, God will speak to you. So I closed my eyes, and I prayed for this girl, you know, and sure enough, I get this figure that comes in my mind, right? My initial thought is no. Right? Right? My initial thought is, I rebuke that. That can't be you, God, in the name of Jesus, right? That can't be you. But so I pray again, right? And I say, Lord, okay, how much should I give this person? The same figure comes up again. You know, and in my mind, I'm just saying, oh, okay, come on, quit kidding, right? Come on, quit pulling my leg. Come on, how much, right? And I lay hands on her again, and the same figure comes out. And this time, God gets a little testy with me. And he says, listen, Sam, I want you to release, right, the spirit of abundance. I want you to show my daughter that I'm not a cheap God, that I'm a God of abundance. You know, when God says something like that, you're like, okay, God, right? I didn't even have the money. I mean, honest, I had to write her a post-dated check, right? I mean, this is a true story. I'm in church. God can strike me down if I'm lying, right? I just didn't have the, I mean, it was just an extravagant figure, but I just obeyed God. You know, and so I said, okay, you know, yeah, actually, the story is kind of interesting. What happens is her mom actually calls me, and she's angry with me, actually, you know, because basically this student compiled all this credit card debt, you know, as most college students do. And I basically paid off all of her debt for her, right, whatever she had amassed over the couple of years that she was there. And her mom was kind of upset because, you know, she's thinking my daughter's getting the easy way out. And I'm just saying, you know, this is God's, you know, God of abundance, and, you know, I'm just following what God's asked me to do. And, you know, but she's still pretty ticked at me. You know, it's just kind of a other end of the story there. You know, and but this girl, as soon as I start praying her, and I tell her the amount, and I pray over her, and I said, God, I just want you to show you that he is a God of abundance, that you don't have to worry. And she just bawled, man. She just cried for, I mean, gosh, 30, 40 minutes. You know, I mean, she just she lost it before God. And God came to her and showed her that he is a God of abundance. You know what I mean? I released, right? Scattered seed. You know, the interesting thing is, right, now God says, you scatter seed, get ready for increase, right? During that time, I was looking around to buy a house. You know, I thought this is probably a good time for me. You know, I need to settle down. Plus, I just got kicked out of the house. Or I was going to get kicked out of the house that I was staying at because the owner is going to sell it. You know, and so I needed to find a place to live. So I thought, why not? You know, and I looked around. I couldn't find any place. Lo and behold, right, I meet this old German couple, you know, and they're selling the house, and they're selling it way below market value. And you know, I mean, just God's timing, the way he orchestrates everything. And then on top of that, I don't even have money for the down payment. I just gave it all away. You know what I mean? And so I don't have money for the payment. I tell you what, man, the next thing you know, I'm getting money in the mail from all over the place. It's just uncanny, right? I mean, I go to church, and people are giving me $2,000-$3,000. Right, you know, just to say thank you, right? I mean, it's just craziness. And next thing you know, I have the exact amount of money to pay for the down payment and to pay for my escrow fees from the Lord, right? You scatter seed, you release, and God brings increase, right? You release, and God brings increase. I mean, I tell you, in my life, there are so many times in my life where I've been challenged to give, you know, and I really didn't want to. You know, but this principle keeps coming back, and I don't do it so I know that I'm going to get an increase at the back end, right? Because he says God loves a cheerful giver. You know what I mean? And so, you know, don't give out of compulsion, right? The scripture tells us. So God loves a cheerful giver. And every time that I've released, I've scattered seed, God has brought increase. I teach other people this principle. They've scattered seed, and God brings increase, right? They release, and God brings increase. The world says, hold on to it, man, right? Hold on really tight. You know, put it in the best bank account, put it in the best thing. And God says, give. Give, and it'll be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, spilling over. It'll just fulfill and flow all through your lap. This is the principle of release. This is the principle, right, or the law of prosperity. You know, we live in a law of poverty. We just hold on to things so much. I mean, I shared this story before. You know, in Africa, you know how they kill monkeys? You know how they capture monkeys? It's an ingenious plan. they get this soda bottle, right? Just regular, it has a glass soda bottle, just enough where the monkey can stick his hand in. They stick some nuts in this bottle. The monkey takes the hand, puts it inside, and the bottle is tied up to some string, right? The monkey puts the hand in, grabs the nuts, and all of a sudden, can't get the hand out. But these stupid monkeys, they never let go of the seed, right, to get their hand out, and they hold on to it. And the next thing you know, the hunter comes in, monkeys got their hand, nuts all in their hands, stuck in there, and they kill them, and they're dead. You know what I mean? What an incredible picture of us sometimes. Bunch of stupid monkeys, right? If you pardon the expression. Right? But we're holding on to things so much, you know, when you just let it go, and just lay your hand out, you'd be set free. But we hoard and we hold on and we just grab things so much and we're trying to grab this thing and we hold it on, right? This is what we call white knuckle, right? And we grab this and we hold it on so much, you know, and God, you know, says, well, Martin Luther said this, that God gives to hands that are open, you know? I mean, it's really simple, right? This is a posture to receive. But hands that, God, hold on to everything. Oh, I need this and I need that and I need to hold on to this. God can't bless us. Right? It's the principle of release, right? Be willing to release for the increase, right? Be willing to release for the increase. You retain and you will decrease, right? You retain, right? There will be a decrease, you know, and he will add sorrow to it. I don't you just love that verse, man? I just been thinking about this verse all week, right? I mean, the blessing of God, he doesn't add any sorrow to this. Right, I just quoted this, right? Turn to Luke 6:38. This is the release. Luke 6:38. Right, give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, they'll pour into your lap, for by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. Like I said, I pray that you give until it hurts. I really do. Because I know I'm setting you up for incredible blessing from God. Incredible blessing from God. You know, I mean, if you're going to think purely on business terms, you know, I mean, for the money that I gave that girl compared to the return I got when we sold our house, come on, astronomical, man. Astronomical. Do you know what I mean? I mean, this is just part of God's plan. This is God's law of prosperity in our life. You know, and I mean, and if we struggle with holding on and you feel like you got this white knuckle, man, let the Lord set you free from that. Let him use you to be a blessing to so many people in this church, so many people in this country, so many people in this world, right? Because very frankly, God bless you so you can be a blessing. Amen. I mean, really, God blessed you so you can be a blessing, right? As a believer, He didn't bless you so you could say, "Oh man, I'm so gosh stinking rich," you know, "I'm so good, man. This job that I have, man, I'm great," you know. I mean, He didn't do that, right? And I know some of you guys think that, so you know what I mean. That's not why He blessed you. You know, He didn't bless you so you can have a fancy business card and pastor, "Yeah, that's what I do, man." You know. He didn't, I'm being honest, right? He blessed you that you can be a blessing, right? That's why you have what you have. You know, that's why God will continue to give more to you, because simple fact, He can trust you. He can trust you, right? I mean, you know, do you want what your company can give you, or do you want what God can give you? I mean, it's really a no-brainer. You know what I mean? Because that's what God wants to do. And the thing is, right, He is not a stingy God. He's not. You know, He's not a stingy God. He wants to bless. He wants to give. Right? He wants to pour out. It's this pouring over our laps. I mean, just, you know, He's gonna take what we give and He's gonna press it down. He's gonna add to it, shake it together, and it's gonna overflow. You know, nowhere else in the scriptures does He say this, right? But all throughout, right? Even Jesus says, "You should not put the Lord your God to the test." Right? Remember in the temptation, right? In Matthew 4. But He says in Malachi, "Test me on this. See, whatever you bring to the storehouse, right? Whatever you release, I will not pour out blessings, right? Overflowing in your life." And God says, "Test me on that thing." Man, this is incredible. I hope that you test Him in some way on this principle. You know, I know people that you know, churches that have really, you know, started campaigns, and, you know, and and done things, and people started giving sacrificially. And I know the church in Toronto, actually Rob's church, but before Rob took it over, some of you guys know Rob that came last year. Before he took it over, my pastor taught on giving for a long period of time. You know, and the church, the most miraculous things happen. You know, in Canada, right? This is in Toronto. In Canada, the tax is obscene. You know what I mean? I mean, it's like 40, 30, 40, 50%. I mean, it's just obscene. You know, and so you have these workers, kind of your age, young, that are giving this huge amount of tax. You know, and so the challenge for them to give is it hurts a little even more, you know? And so, and yet they're challenged by this because they understand the principle, right? The law of prosperity or the law of poverty. And these guys gave sacrificially. You know, and you should have heard the testimonies that came in every single week about how people were just so blessed by God in so many different ways. I mean, it was absolutely incredible what God did in their life as a church, you know, because they didn't grab on, they didn't hoard stuff. They released it. There's something about a spirit of generosity that breaks the back of the devil. I tell this to people all the time. Ladies, if you're looking for a prospective husband, make sure that husband is generous. You know what I mean? I mean, really. Because there's something about generosity that speaks towards different layers of that person's character. Right? Make sure that person is generous. You know, I'm not talking to some guy that, you know, pulls out his here, you know. You know what I mean? Like, let me take, you know, I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about someone that's, you know, like, genuinely generous. You know what I mean? That doesn't have to have people see what's going on. You know? Like, you know, my friend Eric was here, right? Spoke at our anniversary. Eric, man, that guy is an incredible giver. You know what I mean? I mean, his goal for him, and he's an itinerant evangelist, right? And so, and his goal every year is to increase his giving, right? And so, they're right now probably at 30 or 40% of whatever comes in. You know, and that's their goal. Every year, their goal is to increase their giving. You know, I mean, that guy's just got a spirit of generosity on him. You know, and, I mean, it's just amazing. You know, and no wonder he received so much. I mean, no wonder he received so much. You know, remember when I told you we went to Paris together? He paid for that trip for me. I was broke. You know, but he just really sensed God. You know, we went out and we had just a wonderful time. And he's just so stinking generous. There's just a spirit about him. And you just want to be near him all the time. You know what I mean? Because there's just something about his character, you know, and that generosity that just kind of flows, you know, in such a beautiful way. You know, I mean, I really want to encourage, especially you singles here, man. You know, I mean, really, look for that spirit of generosity in that person. You know, I mean, you definitely don't want to marry someone who's cheap. You know what I mean? I mean, it's just, I mean, come on, man. Being cheap is just, it is ugly, man. You know what I mean? Okay, I'll just stop. All right? Release, right? Now, the other part, the third R is receive. Receive. Reward, release, receive. Right? Remember the lame man at the gate beautiful in Acts chapter 3? Right? He looked to Peter and John and he was expecting to receive something. Now, many people walk past that lame man at the gate beautiful, right? Jesus probably walked past him many times as he was going to the temple. But he never received anything because he didn't expect to receive something. You know, one thing that I think a lot of Christians have, we have a difficulty in receiving. And I don't know what it is, you know, I know what it is, it's called pride, right? But we have a problem with receiving, right? This man expected to receive, and he received, right? You need to expect to receive from others and to receive from the Lord. You know, again, my friend Eric, right, he cracks me up sometimes, but Eric, he's telling a story. He was at this church, right? And you know, he's planning to go to Africa, and so he had all these plans and things, and, you know, he needed finances because, you know, he supports, a couple of orphanages there. And there's all these things. So he gets into this church, and this guy walks up to him, this businessman, and he says, you know, I've been praying, and the Lord, you know, gave me this figure, and I just want to give it to you into your ministry. You know, and Eric in there, in his false humility, said, oh, no, it's okay, brother. You know what happened? The guy took off, and he left. This is a true story. He just said, all right, I'm out of here. You know, because the guy just couldn't stand this pride. He couldn't stand this false humility. And so he came up with this saying, you know, and he says, if anyone ever wants to give me, I just receive, I receive, I receive, I receive. Right? And so we actually, it's kind of our inside joke, but in any case, right? And so we say that all the time. Just, I receive, right? If someone wants to give you something, don't be like, oh, no, it's okay, brother. Yeah, it's okay, sister. You know, lose the holier than thou face. You know what I mean? And just say, I receive, I receive, I receive. You know, I mean, it's not saying I'm greedy or, you know, it's not anything like that. But see, if you're going to release, expect to receive. Do you know what I mean? I mean, expect to receive. You know, I'm good at this. I am. I'm really good at this, you know, and stuff. And if you want to give me, I'll take it, man, right? I have no qualms about it. You know, I'm being really honest because this is the principle. Not that I just only receive, but I also give. And I know that this is what happens when people give is people receive. You know, when I was a youth pastor, I kid you not, you can ask any of my kids, right? They used to say this, well, Pastor Sam says, man, Pastor Sam's got the free anointing. You know, in other words, I get stuff for free all the time. You know, and I mean, I'll be honest, I'll go somewhere and some guys will just give me stuff. It's just the weirdest thing. I'll go to a conference, right? And other people are buying books and things. Guys will give me boxes of books and tapes. I just don't know what it is, you know? I mean, I get T-shirts, sweatshirts, I mean, all kinds of people just give it to me. You know what I mean? And trust me, I'm not like, oh, brother, it's okay, you know? I'm just, the Lord provides for me already, it's okay. Nice, I receive, man. Because I know that when I receive, that person is going to receive their reward because they're giving. You know what I mean? You see how this thing recycles all the way through? And stuff, and you give, and notice, right, Jesus says, right, remember he says, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Yeah, he says that. He didn't say don't receive, right? He says it's more blessed to give than to receive, but he didn't say don't receive, right? Now, I know I'm sounding like a word of faith preacher, you know what I mean? Like, name it, claim it, you got it, you know? Lord, I want a pink Cadillac, all right, it's there, right? Trust me, if you know me at all, that's not my orientation, whatever. I mean, that stuff makes me sick, right? I'm telling you. But see, there are biblical principles here that we can really grab a hold of in our life. You know, and God really will set us free in these things, right? He'll really set us free, right? Remember, Jesus was also willing to receive, right? Remember when people came up with him and they poured perfume, a year's wages. You know what I mean? I mean, somebody, let's say our average, you know, salary, you know, in the United States is, you know, about, what, in California, it's roughly, Orange County, where I'm from, is roughly about $55,000 a year, right? Median income. $55,000 bottle of perfume. Crap, man. You know what I mean? And he just, you know, in one shot, it wasn't like last all of these years, one shot. You know, and remember, the other guys got upset and says, man, we could have saved that money. Right? And given to the poor. And Jesus, what do you say? Leave her alone. She's doing a good thing. I'm receiving right now. You know what I mean? I mean, think about it. And if Jesus Christ received, we can receive as well. Right? If we're to follow his example, right, in the same way. You know, another picture, right? This prostitute comes in to the Pharisee's house, pours this you know, expensive vial of perfume, right? Happened to him twice in his life. You know, and he sits there and he says, hey, this woman has done a good thing to me. I mean, it's amazing. And he sits in that place and he receives. He receives, right? I tell you, don't apologize for receiving, right? Don't apologize. You know, many of us that have a lot of, you know, spend a lot of time in church and whatnot, we're kind of apologetic when we receive. You know, I mean, I receive humbly, right? They'll be like, yeah, give me that, you know? It's not like that, right? But receive, right? Receive in a way, a humble way, obviously, you know, but receive in the way that, yeah, this is, man, this is God's gift to me. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, this is, because of course I've sown, because I've given, man, of course I'm going to receive from the Lord. It's a beautiful thing, church. Hey, it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing when members of church see needs and provides for that need. You know, and a person receives, and it's receiving right unto God. You know what I mean? Not that you don't owe that person anything. You know what I mean? And stuff. And you know, I mean, this is a blessing from the Lord. And don't be apologetic when you receive. Amen? I mean, really, don't be apologetic. You know, be a good receiver. You know, because Jesus was a good receiver. Right? When we follow the footsteps of Jesus, right? I mean, you got to be willing to be a good receiver. You know, if you don't, you stop the abundant flow of God. Did you hear that? You stop the abundant flow of God. Because, you know, many times what gets in the way is pride. Pride, false humility, these things get in the way, right? Proverbs 16:8. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before stumbling. Do not let your false pride or your false humility harden your mind and keep you from receiving from God or from others. Right? Don't let this hinder you in this way. Receive. Learn to receive well. Learn to receive well. Right? I shared this story before, but I really like this one. You know, it's a story of this. It was an international student was studying at Dallas Seminary. One of the professors in seminary had spent a lot of time with this. And this, if I recall the story correctly, I think this student was from Africa. You know, he had a wife. He had two small children. They could barely make ends meet. After class one day, the professor is teaching, you know, and after class, the student comes up to the professor, and the professor's got a good salary, you know, he's got a good house, his kids are all, you know, working, they're doing well, but this this student, right, this very poor international student comes up and he gives this envelope to this professor. Inside the envelope is $20, you know, and the student just really humbly says, "I was praying for you, and I just really wanted to bless you. So will you take this money and will you go and will you have dinner with your wife on me, on us?" You know, and the professor was like, no, because he knew the situation. He knew that, I mean, that he was poor. You know, I mean, and he had, you know, I mean, he had so much more money than he did, you know, and how can he give the $20? And it's like, oh my goodness, you know, how can I receive that? And he's just debating this. No, I can't take this from you. You know, I can't. And this young seminary student said, "Listen, do not rob me of the privilege of giving to God." And so, okay, the professor has to take it, right? And so the professor takes his wife out. They eat at McDonald's, right? $20, I mean, you know, you can't really buy much, right? So they go to McDonald's, and they're eating at McDonald's, and they're praying to God, and they're thanking God for the provision. And this professor and his wife are weeping, eating their Big Macs, right? Because of God's work, you know, because they decided to receive, and they received so much more than $20. You know what I mean? They learned an incredible lesson. And the professor had to humble himself to receive from this student. You know what I mean? You know, I go to, some of you guys know, I go to Full Gospel every month. You know, it's just a Korean church, but they have an English ministry, and it's mostly, in fact, it's all made up of Filipino maids here in Hong Kong. You know, and every once in a while, they'll take an offering for us. You know, and I know what a Filipino maid makes here in Hong Kong. You know, I mean, it's ridiculous. You know, and yet these guys are willing to take an offering. I remember the first time, I was like, you know, come on, you know, I mean, you know, but I had to humble myself and say, thank you, I'm blessed. You know, and it, you know, and you know, I mean, it, you know, it's not the amount of money, you know, but when you receive, you know, and especially when you know what's going on in people's lives, man, it is so humbling. Do you know what I mean? It's so breaking. And if there's any kind of spirit of poverty that runs in my life, man, it is broken on the spot when I realize someone, you know, that makes less than me, or someone that has less than I do, is willing to give. That's what you really receive, right? I mean, that's freedom, man. You know what I mean? And then you're able to, man, give, and you know, and you're able to continue on in this principle of increase in our life. That's a beautiful thing to receive, church. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing to give. Yeah, of course. It's also a beautiful thing to receive. Number four. Right, is reaping. Also, along that is also sowing. Right, so sowing and reaping. I had to stay with the R. So, right, sowing and reaping. Right. Now, when a farmer puts a seed into the ground, does he just get one seed back? Right. How many guys have ever been on a farm before? Oh, okay. So you guys know what I'm talking. You've been on a farm, man? Oh, okay. Australia. Okay. Right. So, you know, a farmer sows one seed. Does he get one seed back? No, right? Let's say a farmer sows corn, right? Puts the corn in. What happens, all right? The stalk comes out, and the ears come out, and then you have thousands of seeds. This is the principle of sowing and reaping, right? When you sow, guess what? You don't just get one back. You get a lot back, right? This is sowing and reaping. Right? This is the principle, right? The law of prosperity into our lives. right? The farmer has to sow the seed before he can reap a harvest, right? Right? You don't sow, you don't reap, right? Elementary, right? It's like, you know, like like our basketball team, right? Some of our guys on our team are afraid to shoot the ball, right? I just be really honest, right? I say, you don't shoot, you don't score. You know what I mean? And then you don't get the, you know, you don't get like the fans, you know, and they chant your name and, you know, and then, the, you know, we have a website that comes up. I know you guys check the website and see the stat line, right? But if you don't shoot, you don't score. You know what I mean? It's just a, you don't reap, right? Or you don't sow, you will not reap, right? And so we must reap in our lives, right? Or we must sow as well. You know, the farmer, he has to sow the seed first before there can be a harvest. Right? Before there's a harvest, the more seed he sows, the greater the harvest. Right? Doesn't that just make sense? This is a translation, the message, right? This is a bit translated by Dr. Eugene Peterson from Regent College. And you can turn to 2 Corinthians 9. Kenny, which one do you have up? Do you have the message one up on here? Okay. You guys should really thank Kenny afterwards. If you really want to sew in, you should take him out to dinner. You can pay me later, Ken, all right? All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. Look what it says. I'll read you the New American Standard, right, the Bible, and I'll read you the, or you can read it later, right? This is 2 Corinthians 9. It says, now I say this, he who sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Let each one do just as he has purpose in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Well, let me give you a modern translation of what we just read. You know, sparingly reaping, what the heck does that mean? This is Eugene Peterson. I really like this one. Remember, a stingy planter gets a stingy crop. A lavish planter gets a lavish crop. I want each of you to take plenty of time to think it over and make up your mind what you will give. That will protect you against sob stories and arm twisting. God loves it when they give, right? He delights in the giving, right? It's just simple, right? You want to be stingy? That's what you're going to get. You're going to get stinginess in return. You want to be lavish? You'll get lavishness in return, right? This is the principle of sowing and reaping, right? Sowing and reaping, right? Every day, listen, every day we make a choice to sow some of our seed or to eat it, right? I mean, we have that choice, right? We can sow it into the kingdom or we can eat it. We can consume it or we can hide it or hoard it, right? Okay? When you exercise faith and sow some of your seed, God releases the law of prosperity to us. When we give in to our fears and we eat our seed or we hide it, we release God's law of poverty into our lives. You know, I told you, you know, money, finances are really spiritual. It's really, really spiritual. It's just the spiritual things, you know, the Bible and church and these things. And then there's money and us. They're so intertwined to one another, you would not believe it. Right? This is where your heart is, right? Where your treasure is, your heart will also be. Right? It just makes that very clear for us. And so every day we have a choice. And it's a choice to trust God. You know, let's say this whole idea of tithing, right? This 10%, which is a minimum, right? And it wasn't the law, you know, of the scriptures. It was just what the first family did. We talked about it last week. And so, you know, we have an opportunity, right? We pay our taxes, right? And then we ought to give to the church. And then we ought to give offerings as well. And then we sit in that place and you have X amount, right, figure there. You know, and you're going through this thing, and you have, you know, X for this, and, you know, you got your budget for entertainment, right? You got your budget for new clothes, and, you know, you got your budget for basketball, and, you know, you got your budget for, you know, this and that, and all these different things. And then you make that decision. Well, do I have enough, or can I give God? And if I give God, can I trust God to take care of my needs? See, that's what it comes down to. That's why he says where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. Right? Are we going to operate out of this stinginess? Right? Are we going to operate out of generosity? Generosity means, very simply, church, God, I just trust you. I put my faith in you. Right? I don't trust in my abilities. Right? I don't trust in the way I can do these things. There's actually scripture, right, that that I think we read it before, right? But we make this conscious decision all the time, right? All the time. Are we going to live in poverty? Or are we going to live off of prosperity, right? And it's the simple principle of sowing and reaping into our lives, right? And do not let circumstances rule you. Do not let circumstances rule you, right? You know, they may tell you that you cannot afford to sow anything. Don't let that happen. Ecclesiastes 11:4. This is what it says. He who watches the wind will not sow, and he who looks at the clouds will not reap. Right? He who watches the wind. This is kind of farming terminology, right? The wind meaning that's going to bring desolation, or there's not going to be a harvest, it's not good climate to grow. And it says, and if you just look at your circumstances, wow, you know, we could say in our time, wow, the Hong Kong stock market, oh, it's not looking good this year, man. You know, or the property market or whatnot, it's not going to look good. And all of a sudden that affects our sowing. You know, and Ecclesiastes, right? I mean, this is Solomon in all his wisdom. He says, man, you watch the wind, you focus on your circumstances, you're never going to sow. And then when the cloud comes, right? In other words, when the harvest is about to come, you will not reap either. Right? Do you get that? Right? And so it's a focus on a circumstance, right? The wind is coming, it's bad climate for growth, and we say, all right, I can't sow right now, right? It's our decisions based on circumstances. And then when the circumstances become favorable, right, when the clouds start coming, in that case, you will neither reap either, right? It just won't happen during this time. You know, and so we sow in all circumstances. Ecclesiastes 11:6, you know, a couple of verses later, it says, sow your seed in the morning, and do not be idle in the evening. In other words, be consistent in our sowing. Right? If you sow, you will reap. This is God's law. It cannot fail. You guys hear me? This is God's law. It cannot fail. It cannot fail. You sow, there will be a reaping. You don't sow, you won't reap. Right? Do you see how this thing works? It's so clear to us. Turn to Galatians chapter 6. We're getting close to the end here. Galatians chapter 6. Right? Remember, God's law. Galatians 6, 6 through 9. It says, and let the one who is taught the word share all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh shall reap the flesh, from the flesh reap corruption. By this one who sows to the Spirit shall from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we shall reap if we do not grow weary. Right? This is God's law. He says, listen, man, don't be deceived. You sow, you're going to reap. You don't sow, you're not going to reap. Right? It's just really, I mean, really basic for us. Right, God's spiritual law of prosperity says, sow the seed. In due season, you'll reap the harvest. What you sow is what you will reap. Right, in due season. Right, like a farmer, right? A farmer goes out, some of you guys are on a farm. If you plant something on Tuesday, do you expect it to grow on Wednesday? Right? This ain't Jack and the Beanstalk, right? That's not the way it happens. We expect in season, in due season, it may be another season, usually, you know, when we're planting stuff, in another season, we're going to reap. You know, and so don't stand in the place, oh, man, I gave this, I'm not getting anything right now, you know. And so that's not the way it works. In due season, it says, we're going to reap, right? As we sow into the gospel of Christ, we will reap his harvest. The timing of the harvest will come in due season, right? And that's why God says, test me on this. Right? Test me on this. I will pour out for you. Right? That the storehouses can't even hold in. Right? It will come in due season. What you reap, right? Or you will reap whatever you sow. Now catch this very clearly. You sow apples, guess what you're going to reap? Apples. You sow love, you're going to reap love. Right? You sow good works, you're going to reap good works. You sow finances, you reap finances. Do you understand that principle? You reap, right? You will reap what you sow. You know, if you reap good works, you may not, or if you sow good works, you may not reap finances. You guys understand that? You'll reap good works. That's the principle of prosperity here at work. You know, and so, you know, a lot of times, you know, we say, God, you know, I don't want you, you know, get near my checkbook. This is my own decision, whatever the case. Well, you reap, right? You will reap what you sow. You know, just like a farmer, if a farmer, you know, sows corn, right? Is he going to get watermelon? Do you know what I mean? Of course not. But yet, and for some twisted reason, we have this understanding. We think, well, I just got to do a lot of good stuff, you know, or do these things works-based. But you reap what you sow. You sow finances, you will reap finances. Do you guys understand that? Right? It's a very important element for us to really understand. You sow love, right? You'll reap love. Right? If you sow good deeds, right? You'll reap good deeds, not finances. You know, sometimes, I mean, they may be connected in some way, but generally, right, this is how it works. Right? Farmers even understand this principle. Amen? Let me break it down for us. Right? God gives power to gain wealth, right? And He adds no sorrow to it. That's a really, really important line, man. He adds no sorrow to it. God wants you to prosper. Every single one of you. He wants you to live in prosperity, not to live in poverty, right? Not to live in want, right? Hard workers will have plenty, right? This is the law of prosperity. If you do not work hard, you won't get plenty. You won't eat, right? Very simply. Jesus was a giver and a receiver. You will reap what you sow. Sow all the time. Don't look at your circumstances. And in due season, you will reap. Amen? Let's close our eyes. For some of you here, man, I'm preaching to the choir, man. You guys know this stuff. You guys have been given your whole lives. And I mean, it's easy. And you've seen how God has blessed you in so many ways. You know, not only in just things coming in, but, you know, that a lot of things don't go out. That's also a blessing from God. For many of others here, God really wants to challenge you in this. I mean, He really wants to challenge you. And every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of light, in whom there is no turning or change. I'm telling you, God wants to bless many of our, all of our lives here. But I wonder if our stinginess, our hoarding, is preventing the flow of God to move in our lives. You know, I don't preach this because we need more offering. Trust me. But I believe that the Lord wants you to be blessed and live a blessed life, that you can be a blessing to others. In this season, as we talk about giving and stewardship, I really want to challenge you. I mean, really, I want the Lord to challenge you by the air of your giving. And of course, today we talked a lot about finances, but also giving of yourself, of your time, giving of your energies to the kingdom and to the family of God. Some of us, we've been coming to church here for a while, but we can't be bothered to build friendships. Why? I have no idea. But we just take off as soon as the service is over. I can't be bothered to have fellowship. You're not really giving of yourself. God set you in this body for a purpose. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. So like I said before, if it was all about money, we'd take an offering right now. We'd probably do pretty well. That's not the point. I mean, hear my heart, church. God wants to bless you guys so much. Second Chronicles, the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the whole earth, that He may strongly support those whose hearts are His. In other words, God is actively seeking people to bless, to strongly support. And there's only one criteria, is that you trust Him. Flat out, church, giving says, God, I trust you. I want to challenge you to just go before the Lord today. Just ask the worship team to come up. Lead us in a little bit of music. If you feel condemned or anything, Romans 8:1, man. There is therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. If you're convicted, I say, Lord, bring it on even more. But let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Let the Holy Spirit tell you that He wants to bless you. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you that He wants to set you free. That He wants you to walk in redemptive purposes. That He wants to release the power in you to gain wealth and add no sorrow to it. Let's pray. Prosperity, church. Choose prosperity. Why don't we stand before the Lord? Let's sing together as we continue in the attitude of prayer. Let's pray for our brother and sister on the right and left of us. And let's pray specifically that that person would choose prosperity. Choose to live under the law of prosperity and not under the law of poverty. Right, that God would really speak to that person this week, right, in the area of their giving, in the area of really just giving their heart and their life and their passions, their finances, all these things unto God, that God may release the increase in their life. Amen? So let's pray for one another right now. Biblical principles, God. We thank you, God, that you've given us really straightforward guidelines in our lives, God, of how you want to position us, God. How you, each one of us wants to get into a place, Lord, that we can walk in your fullness, Lord God. Lord, we want your best in our life, God. And we say that we're not going to settle for anything less than the best that you have for us, God. The best careers, God. The best spouses, Lord God. Or best spouse, preferably, Lord, just one. Lord God, and God, you want to just do so many wonderful things in our life, God. And so would you continue to bless us, Lord, and help us to walk, God, Lord, in prosperity, Father God. Help us to walk, Lord, God, in your truth, Lord, that you may bring increase in our life, God. Not just so that we can walk in increase, God, that we can be a blessing to the world around us, Father. Now, that's why we've been put on this planet, Father God. And so teach us and guide us, Lord, and continue to speak to us this week, Lord. Bless this church, God. Provide every need, God, in the lives of the people in this church, Father. We thank you so much, God. And the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord causes space to shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace from this day forever. Amen. Amen. I want you to thank the person next to you. Say, thanks for praying for me. God bless you. Have a great week.